Hallelujah. Before I introduce the speaker, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about short-term mission trip. And so last year, we went to Mexico with three teenagers, and we had an incredible time, and Brother Oscar does a ministry there. And so I said, you know, let's do it further. So this mission month, I wanted to really tell you guys about we're gonna go three places, and so we're gonna go on second week of June. We're gonna plan on going to Thailand, and so we have our brother Tony who's there. He's been there for over 20 years. Incredible ministries down there. So actually, brother Oscar gonna join us for that mission trip, and brother John, Pastor John's going to join us also. So it's going to be an incredible mission trip. So please sign up. And the sign-up, she's out there. And it's going to be, deadline is going to be until the end of this month. So there will be many speakers who's going to come. And so they're going to talk about our mission. So the short-term mission trip is a great time for you guys to go and see what our missionaries are doing. And so, you know, you guys, so what about the money? What about the time? If you give God a chance, he will provide it for you. And if you give God a chance, say, God, I'm going to dedicate my life for this portion of time. God's going to make a room for you to come. And, you know, he does that every single time. And so, and it's going to change your life. You know, for me, I've been doing a youth ministry for a long time. And one of the hallmark was that taking the kids down to the Mexico, you know, and for 1 week, and it changed their life. All those things that they learn about prayer, all those things that they learn about, you know, the, you know, what God is alive and God moves, they see it there, and God moves, and God, they see the power of God start to move, and when they come back changed. And it's gonna be same thing for all of you guys who sign up. So please sign up. I'm only going to receive 5 people, okay, per trip, okay? So please hurry up and sign up before the room is all filled up, okay? And for Japan mission, the actual speaker is going to be here on the last week and in for the Japan. And so we're going to engage in their mission, ministry in Japan mission. And also, we have a chance to go to Korea at the same time. So if you just, the round trip from Japan to Korea is only about $200. And going to Japan, the round trip from here is around $600. And so it's really affordable. So I'm going to try to make it a 2-country available for Japan for the last week of June. So please sign up and make it an opportunity for you guys to really come in and really see what our missionaries are doing in first-handed. So this week, we have incredible missionaries line up, and as you look at the bulletin board, and so we today we have Brother Oscar. The next week, we have our very own Brother Chris going to speak to us about Pakistan. And our third week, we have Chelsea from UH, and she's going to talk about the campus ministry. And those of you who knows about Chelsea, she has incredible ministry going on right now. I mean, powerful things are happening in the campus ministry right now. And then on the fourth week, we have a Japan mission. Brother David Brewery going to come and talk about what's going on in Japan. So please join us. Do not miss any of this week. And join us and really hear what God is saying and what God is doing in the mission field. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's. I want to introduce our speaker, Brother Oscar. Brother Oscar Brooks, he's Nicaraguan. You guys thought that I only know Koreans, right? I know Nicaraguans, okay? Somehow, some way, along the way, I met him in a Bible college. That's like over 30 years ago. Can you guys imagine that? And that's when I had a hair, right? And I was actually fatter than he was. And then now we kind of flip-flop, you know, that he become fat and I become skinny. So I don't know what really happened. And so Brother Oscar and I went a long way. He's a good friend of mine. And I was going through a Baptist church in Louisiana as I was going through the Bible college. And the Baptist church, that Korean Baptist church that I was going to, the pastor actually sent him out to Mexico as a missionary. That's how the whole mission thing started for him. And he planted 7 churches there in Mexico. And then he got linked up with the Way of the Cross ministry and going all over South America. And he doesn't just go South America, but he goes to, like, in Middle East. He used to go to India and got kicked out because he said, we don't want a Christian like you. It's like, so that, and then he go to Africa and many places. And one of the things that Brother Oscar does is that he doesn't plant churches, but he actually plant Bible colleges on the ground and raise up the young people for the next generation pastors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he had many stories that he could tell you guys and many things. And he have incredible knowledge about the Word of God. And so please open up your hearts, guys, and hear what Brother Oscar have to say today, okay, through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Brother Oscar, come.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. I've met many of you in the past, and some of you guys, I'm meeting you today. It is a blessing for me. I'm a pastor's child. I was born in a pastor's home. It could be both a blessing and not so much of a blessing. Everybody expects you to be like a little pastor. Like, I don't know why. It might be the only profession that is, you know. You don't go to a doctor's son and say, can you do the surgery? That doesn't mean he can cut you open. But I grew up, everybody thinking that my dad was a pastor, therefore I was a little pastor. So when I did not behave like a little pastor, things got bad really quickly. They'll come and tell my dad, there's a pastor's son, me, beating up on the deacon's son. That doesn't go very well, right? And so I grew up a little rebellious, and it wasn't bad, but God got a hold of me. He always does. And started preaching at 13, and got all into the ministry since then. It's been a blast. It's been good. My adult life has been in the mission field, you know, bouncing in places. Brother Hung and I have been to many places together and just preaching the gospel in different places. And so the experiences have been good, and I am just blessed to be a part of what God is doing in the house here, and to be, in fellowship with you in so many different ways, and I'm looking forward to more time spent together, and I discover you guys, when you guys say we're going to have fellowship, it means food, and so I like fellowship when you guys are talking like that. It's like, hey, we're going to go fellowship in the park. I said, I know that word now. Let's go. And so I am blessed beyond measure to see God's kingdom being moved here. The mission field is on fire right now. God is moving all over the place. At the same time, persecution is at an all-time high. I mean, the persecution against Christians is crazy. You can only mention countries like Nigeria who you know, people are dying right and left just for the fact of being Christians. And, you know, we've planted a Bible college in Nigeria years back, and so we're in close fellowship with them. And there was a time when we were going, you know, 3 or 4 times a year to minister there. Since the pandemic, that has slowed down God willing, it'll happen this year. We have a plan for later on in this year. But those guys are paying a high price for being Christians. If you go to North Africa, for example, you know, the intensity of the attacks against Christians in places like Egypt and Libya and these places are so intense right now. If you come over to South America, there's just this rising up against Christianity. I think the evil spirits are stirring up. I'm not saying people are evil. I'm just saying there's a spirit behind all this stuff. That is coordination. And you see the craziest of things. You look at those things and you say, okay, how does that work? For example, I've seen these signs of in the middle of protests where people say something like gay or transsexuals against pro-Palestine. And those of you who have been in the Middle East, and I'm not going to offend the communities that participate in that, I just want to illustrate a point. If you go over to the Middle East and the places where I've been, so many of you guys have been also, you know, gays and transgenders will be the first ones to go because the Quran has a specific mandate against that behavior. And it's death, not today, not like the Old Testament back 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about right now. And so you sit back and you question and you say, hey, how can that work? Why would you think that? Most people know that. And the only reason you can have is the understanding that the there's something behind it that is just clouding the mind of people to go into an understanding that is not from the Lord. And so when you go into that understanding, you realize that there are all kinds of attacks coming against Christians. But I think the church does better when it is under attack. I'm not saying we should get it. I'm just saying that when it's under attack, historically, the church rises up and does its job. When we are blessed, when everything is going well, we kind of slide down and prosperity seems to get us into a complacent place and not allow us to be what we need to be as Christians. And so the mission field challenges us in every way in the places where we preach. If I'm here, I'm on a friendly crowd. If you're unfriendly, it's fine. All you can do is just make a face at me, and that's it. But when we are in these other places, it's terrible. It's this attack that comes directly, and we've been on the brunt end of that attack, and it's been terrifying in some instances. But God has been good to us, and we're standing here knowing that he is on the move. And so a time like this, when you're thinking specifically about missions, I'll ask you to pray for missionaries in this way. There are many things you already know, but this one. Missionaries are usually very lonely people because you are being put in places where there is no Christianity or very little. There's no fellowship with mature believers. It's just you and maybe a couple other people who are believers, but they don't really, you're more a pastor to them than a friend. So a lot of missionaries have no friends. They just got to always be in the ministry mode. And, you know, you don't have a prayer partner. You don't have people who are just there with you, just holding your hand as you. You don't have somebody you can call at 2 a.m. to say, hey, can we pray together? It just doesn't work that way. And so one of the things that is impactful to me is John, when he gets up and he's in the Isle of Patmos being put in jail, and he declares in that place that he needs God more than anything. And he says, in the day of the Lord, I was in the Spirit. And so sometimes you get to preach sermons that only you know what you're saying. Sometimes the only amen is your own amen. You say, praise the Lord. And you answer, praise the Lord, ask her, because nobody else is there to say that. Everybody's looking at you like, I wish you died. And so that's one of the things that I will ask you to pray for. Pray for that. There's all kinds of all the crazy things that happen to us. Clothing, you know, you guys here, you know all of that because there's so many cultures here in this land. You got all kinds of clothing. It's normal for you to look for example, at a Samoan that is wearing, the clothing that they have. And I've worn that, and, you know, it's different because if you're not used to it. And then there's other places. If you're in Africa, for example, there's a certain clothing that you have to put on that is also a very different thing. What else do they have? The way the services are very different. Some services are long. You're thinking about, you know, a church service here, you think, oh, man, it's going to be an hour and a half. If you go to Mexico or Guatemala or one of those countries, those services are 6 hours long, 7 hours long. The children get there, and they're looking for a place to lay down. They know this is going to be a while. They just get going. Second thing is, I found out this is true in Korea also in this sense. They give you an hour. They say the service is going to be at 6 p.m. And the only dummy one who shows up at 6 p.m. is me, because they're not going to show up at 6 p.m. They're going to show up at 7:30 p.m. And when you get there, they say, Nicaraguan time. It means, you know, we just give you an hour. There's an approximate. We'll get there when we get there, which is fine. But if you have, you know, Marine-style American, they're going to be like, where's the people, Oscar? What's going on, man? I said, they'll get here. But once they get there at 7:30, you're not going to get out of there until like 1:30 a.m. It is a long process. By the time they come to me, I've already taken a nap, came back. I'm trying to, you know, I want to preach again. Long services. I've been in services that are like 2 days. They are crazy services. The way that they get into it, you know, some people are so crazy about things, you know, loud, and like the Africans, you know, the Africans get all into everything. They yell and scream. You actually have to slow them down, because then sometimes they don't let you preach. You said, they go, hey, amen. I said, I haven't said anything. What are you aiming for? Chill. And when they get excited, in some places, they come right up to you. And the first time that this happened to me, it kind of scared me. Because this big guy, bigger than me, got up from over there, and he had this face, right? And he's coming all intent right at me, right here. And I'm already trying to think, okay, how am I going to, you know, this is not going to be the spirit. You know, I'm just going to be moving, because I'm not going to let this guy hit me, right? And he came right out to me and put his arms like this right here while I'm preaching. And it starts shaking like this. And I was like, oh, okay, so I guess this is what we do. And then another one got up, and another one got up. I had 20 of them right here. I mean, like this. The whole time, I mean, I'm preaching among them, just going beside them. This is just the way that things are in that place. If you go to Europe, complete opposite. You think they're dead. Are they blinking? Even Pentecostals don't say anything. And if you hear an amen, it's probably some foreigner that is snuck into the service. This is not happening. There's some services where you see them going like this, and you go, whoa, house is going to fall. They move their head. They're just quiet. Now, Latin Americans, they're loud. I got to tell you, too loud. There's like little tiny churches that are like one-third of this church right here, and they have these boom boxes. I mean, the whole place is shaking, boom, boom. And, you know, you don't go to concerts to get deaf over there. You go to church, and they sit the preacher up front right next to where the speakers are. I feel everything that the drummer is doing, like, and I'm just going like this. And then you all of a sudden you said, you know, I need to go to a restroom, and you try not to come back. They come get you, and they bring you right back in, and you're like, oh. And because they're tiny houses, they're all shaking, loud. I thought we were the loudest until I got around the Koreans. They are loud too. They don't look like it. The ladies are all quiet, you know. But nah, when they get into praying, it's loud. They freaked me out the first time I heard them. Ah, Abuchi! And I was like, oh. The whole house went crazy. And I was like, okay, these are my peeps right here. We're going to scream. But I find out something about the Lord. The Lord is on the move in the mission field. There's so many miracles happening right now, more than I've ever seen before. And the anointing of the Lord is falling upon nations. The Lord is doing great things, and people are waking up to the gospel in the middle of persecution. I think that I'm just excited that my eyes have gotten to see the Lord on the move. Because I don't want to just read about this. I know that a lot of people have done a lot of great things in the past, and I like it. I love it. In fact, it's what got me here. I know it was the calling, but I got excited listening to, you know, the Outcasts when they were five boys that went over there and they got killed because of the gospel, or you know, this one that prayed for this one and blinds and all this stuff. But I just reading it. I don't want to just read it. I want to live it, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that did all those things is here. So I want to just live for him that way. And so there's that excitement in my spirit about the Lord. Can we get into the passages? Let's get into the passages, and let's go over to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 6. And verse 7. Now I need you to be with me, because I'm going to go very fast. Now, are you there? 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Somewhere in the titles of your Bible, you're going to find, if you have that kind of Bible, something about the Philistines have captured the ark. They have the ark of the Lord. They'll keep it for 7 months, by the way. They have it as a trophy. They put it into the temple of Dagon. And they think that they have captured God. How funny can that be? They think they got him. You know, because they defeated his people, they think they defeated God. What a mistake. Nobody can defeat God. He sits upon the throne. But they think they got him. They got the ark that represents the presence of God in front of their God, which is half fish, half men, at Dagon. It's his name. They worship the sea and its creatures, because they were people who lived by the sea. The Philistines were. But sicknesses have begun to attack them. And everywhere where the ark goes, boils and sores are popping up on them. And they take it from that city to another city. There's five Confederate cities that were city-states on the Philistines. And every city that it went, it stopped from where it left. And when it got to a different city, the ark, these things began to happen to all of them. And they wise stopped to it and said, the only common denominator for us is that this ark is here. And they said, we can't keep it. We got to send it back. How are we going to do it? They gathered together and all their wise men to try to figure out. The five prince kings are there too. They're all worried because there's a lot of dead people and a lot of sick people in their cities, and they want to know what to do. What do we do? And so they got together and they said, we're going to send it back. But they still had a little nagging feeling. You're going to understand that, because it's happened to you, or am I also. When they said, is it really God though? Maybe it's just coincidence. Maybe it's just coincidence that whatever this ark goes, we're getting sick. We don't know. If it's God, let's send it back. If it's not, let's figure it out. So this is what they come up with. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take two milk kine. Milk kine means they just had babies, okay? On which there hath come no yoke. That means they haven't used them on the fields. And tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart. Put the jewels of gold which he returned him from a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that he may go. Listen to what they say. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Bethshemesh. That's the first town of the Israelites that is in the border with them. Then he had done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. You see that? They still say, well, it might be an accident. Let's figure it out. And the men did so and took two milk kine. Remember, it's two milk kine. Two cows, and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. What? This is going to be interesting. Anybody been around cows, you're going to know what is going to happen here. They took two little calves from the two mothers and locked them up in the house, meaning the corral, where the cows could see where they were, and they said, they're going to be right there. What is a cow going to do? What is a cow going to do? A good mom cow, which all of them are, is going to run to the calf. That's what they know. And they put two with a yoke on them that they never had a yoke, so that there is no accident, that the two of them are going to do the exact same thing. That's what they're doing. Listen to verse 10 again. And the men did so and took two milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer of the mice and of gold and the images of their emeralds. And the kine, listen to what they did, took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh. And went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Bethshemesh. And they of Bethshemesh were repairing their wheat harvest in the valley, reaping the wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua at Bethshemite, and stood there where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. Listen to that last phrase. And offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we worship you right now. You are good to us. And we just ask you to move upon us and to give us, Lord, a declared outcome of your goodness upon us, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to need 20 minutes to do this. Who's going to be my clock? Somebody needs to be my clock. You start me off. Just don't get too excited and then forget. It happens to me. And then 2 hours later, it's like, that was a long 20 minutes. You're going to be, okay, you start me off. Start me off. Make faces at me when I'm getting there, okay? Like 2 minutes before. I forgot. I told this to somebody one time. I got all into the sermon and somebody was making faces at me. I was like, what's up? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. So the Philistines are in trouble. They have dead people and sick people all over the place. And the leaders are getting together to say, what do we do? We think it's this ark. We're going to figure it out. And listen to what they do. We read it. Now, let's see. They get themselves two cows. Remember, they're Philistine cows. They're not wandering cows that go over to visit Israel. They're not that kind. They don't have that. They've never been down there. The Philistines and the Israelites are enemies, sworn enemies. So there's these two cows. They have never been down there, and all of a sudden they get picked. They get chosen. They're going to start out being Philistine cows. They're going to end the day being a holocaust unto the Lord. Or, better say, a burnt offering. I said holocaust because that's what the word is. A burnt offering. A burnt offering was the highest type of offering. Everything that I am, everything that I said, everything in me, everything that I possess, everything is put upon the altar. They burn the animal completely as an offering unto God. That's how they're going to end up that day. But they're not going to start out that day. They're going to start out as Philistine cows, enemies of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you're with me in this one, but I'll tell you. I don't think this was put here so that cows could read it and figure out how to become a burnt offering. As far as I know, they don't read. If you find yourself a reading cow, help me out, and we will found a lot of missionaries this way, because we can get a reading cow. No, this is a passage that is in the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit, showing you how you go from being on the outside of the people of God all the way to be the highest of all offerings, a burnt offering. They start out right here as cows. They're going to be tested that day by the Philistines from all people. This is what the Philistines did. They grabbed these two cows. They never work on the fields. There's never been a yoke upon them. That's important so that they don't have some kind of memory that it'll tell them what to do. They're going to make it very hard. They got to make sure. And they grab these two cows that have babies, and they take away their babies. What a cruel thing to do. And they lock them up where the cows are looking at them. They will hear them also, the crying of the little calf calling on their mom to come. And then they put that yoke upon these two cows. And they put this cart that they're going to pull. They said this: when we put the ark of the presence of God, the glory of the God of the Israelites, and we put it upon that cart, if these cows run toward the little calf like every other cow will do, God didn't do this. It was by chance. But if these cows don't behave like cows with milk, little children, and head out toward Israel, then God did this. Forget Gideon. This one is a tough one. They are saying this animal is going to act against his own nature in order for us to believe that God is on them. The lesson started already. Even the Philistines will tell you something powerful there. That if it's true that the glory and the presence of God in that ark is upon something, that something should behave a different way. Let me say it again. They're crying out something to you and me, saying, stop claiming that God is upon you if you act like every other cow. Hear it out again. You can call me out and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a preacher, I'm a singer, I'm a man of God, I live this way, I live that way, and all of that are good. But whenever the presence of God comes upon somebody, something's got to change. I am tired of this gospel that is being preached today that says, come as you are. I say, yes, come as you are. When Jesus opened up his arms, he said, come from whatever you are. If you are in the houses of pride, if you are in the houses of materialism, if you are in the houses of communism, if you are in the houses of struggle and problem, if you are in immorality, if you are in prostitution, if you are in any of those things, Jesus is open for you because he is the answer to all of those things. But the gospel that is being taught today by many in the pulpit says, come as you are and stay as you are. No. We don't want a drunk to become a Christian drunk and a liar to become a Christian liar and a homosexual to become a Christian homosexual. No. All things have passed away. If God makes something new, he puts a new thing in your heart. Even the Philistines knew that. They were not people of God, but they said this. They grabbed the presence of God, the ark, and they said, if we put it upon these cows and they act like every other cow, they don't have the presence of God. Let me say it again. Listen to what they said. And they're the ones watching. You know who knows if you're a fake Christian? The non-Christians know. They know. They look at you and go, he says he is, but whenever he hits himself with a hammer at work, the words that come out of his mouth are the exact same words that come out of mine when I hit myself. This is how they say it to you. I thought you were a Christian. Because the expectation from them is you say that you have a great God, and you say that you have a God that moves upon you, and you say that he is the one who transforms everything. And how come then you're not any different than any other cow? What a powerful statement from a non-believer. They were saying, okay, let's see if this is God. When we put this ark upon these cows, the nature, their flesh, the things that they are going to draw and toward whatever the little. Now, picture this. They're crying out. The little ones are crying out. And these ones are feeling it. They're looking at each other. We got to go rescue our children. Okay, okay, we're going to do it. And it all is the same until they put the ark of the presence of God upon them. When they put it upon them, they turned their back and headed toward Israel. And you have to understand what is happening there. Now, I'm not saying that God makes you a bad father or a bad mother. That's not what I'm saying. I can assure you the other cows must have been, look at her. Where's she going? Leaving the little calf. I knew. No, that's not what is happening. The same instinct is still in them, and the same desire is still in them, but they got a higher thing that is happening, and I'm not talking about calves. See, this is what the problem is. If you're attached to something more than you're attached to God, the devil, all the devil has to do to defeat you is to grab that something and lock it up, and you're going to go around and around and around and around and never leave that thing. If you're attached to alcohol, all he has to do is put it somewhere, and all you're going to do is go around and around. If you're attached to your own possessions, all he has to do is put those possessions in that house, and you're never going to remove yourself from that. It doesn't mean that those things don't have their use. It means this, though. The power of God is higher in me than those things that are for me. The power of God will fall upon me in such a way that he moves me in a different direction, even when I don't feel that way. Hear it out this way. A man and a woman. Let me say this example first. A boy walks up to God. A man, Jesus, is standing there. And he says, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, but this is how he said it. But let me go bury my parents. It doesn't mean they died and I go bury them. That's not what it means. It means they're old and I got to wait until they die. Now, God says something awesome at that moment. He says, let the dead bury the dead. I said, wait. That's confusing because one of your commandments is to honor your father and your mother. That's a commandment, right? And he's honoring that. He's saying, let me go to my ancient parents and wait until they die and they are buried. Then I'll be your disciple. Sounds reasonable to me, but not to Jesus. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, meaning I want you to be a good son. I want you to take care of your parents. I want you to do what you need to do, but not at the price of not following Jesus. He is higher than anything else. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. He sits upon the throne. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has to be the first that sits upon the throne of your heart. Ah, they're stuck. Okay, let's try it. What do? We put the ark. What is going to happen? Well, if they head that way, they don't have God. What if they don't head that way and they head? Okay, that's God. Okay, let's do it. And they put him and they go that way straight. In fact, go to the passage so that you know what I'm talking about there. Right at around verse 12. At around verse 12, you're going to find it. And the kind took the straight way to the way of Bethshemesh, 6:12 of 1 Samuel. And went along the highway, lowing as they went. Listen to what it says. And the kind took the straight way to Bethshemesh. Now, something is important right there. Something is important. Not just the ark being put upon them. No. Now, all of a sudden, they know where to go. A place they have never been. Had they ever visited Israel, they would have been staked very quickly. They would have not come back. But they headed out in that direction. Why? Because when God is upon you, he gives you purpose. He gives you direction. You may even go to places you've never been before, and you will be sure because he's leading you. Israel, when they come out of Egypt, this happened to them, and they were trying to go in the right direction, and they didn't know how to. But in the daytime, there was a pillar of cloud, and at night, there was a pillar of fire, and they did not know where they were going, but God knew. Let me declare it to you today. No matter what God puts in your heart, he will lead you. He will lead you. You have to understand that part of being a burnt offering to God is to not obey the desires of your flesh, even if they are good desires, and to move in the direction that God has put for you so that you can go where he desires you to go, right straight. That means all of a sudden God told them, that's where you have to go. And he put a bullseye, and they all of a sudden knew. And the five princes were convinced. They said, oh, wow. They did not go looking for the little animals, and now they're going toward Israel. So they followed them. What was happening to them? The five princes of that, those people were saying, God is doing something. Why? All of a sudden, they have purpose. Not only are they not obeying the flesh, now they have purpose. They have direction. God is not the author of confusion. He knows where he wants to lead this church to exactly in the long term and this year. He knows where he wants to lead your life, and it has to be a straight path. He's not going to make you bounce from place to place. He knows exactly where he wants you to go. Let the presence of God be upon you in such a way that you are able to follow his path. Whew. That's not the only thing that happened. The Bible says, now go back to verse 12. That's where we were. Verse 12 of chapter 6. And the kind took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh. That's Israel. And went along the highway, lowing as they went. If somebody here knows anything about cows, you're going to know why they moan, why they low. When they're hungry, they do that. When they're hungry, they do that. Let me make a little stop to say something. Part of becoming a burnt offering to the Lord is to get hungry for God. You need to be hungry for God more than any other thing. Every now and then there has to be this stirring to say, I don't want to talk to people. I want to be alone with God. Every now and then you have to pick up your Bible and be a desire to have revelation from him. Every now and then, see, as the deer panteth for the water, my soul longeth after him. What it's saying is, I have something that is that I can distract me, and I'm not going to go after my flesh. I'm going to go straight, but I'm also going to be hungry. I'm going to be thirsty for God. I got to tell you something. When everything else has failed me, this thing has not failed me. The hunger of God will always be satisfied by the Holy Spirit. The hunger of God will stir you up to get out of where you're at. The hunger of God will move you in his direction, and you will understand how good he is to you, and he will get you out of places. The other reason that they mow and they low like they are, that they go moo, is because they heard overhearing the cry of their baby. See, sometimes the servants of the Lord has a high price in it. The people of God who are ministers in the house, you know what I'm talking about. There is something that is a high price. Something as simple as a child, your child coming up and saying, how come my neighbor has expensive LeBron James shoes and I just get Walmart shoes, daddy? And to you it's not important, but to that child it is. How come they can have the highest of the latest iPhones and I don't even get one? As I stood in houses of pastors who didn't have milk for their children for the next week. Some of us show up in places dressed up like we had something, but we know that we don't even have the gasoline to put it out in the car so that we can get home. I gotta tell you something though. If they gave me 1,000 lives, I will still give him 1,000 lives to the Lord. You know why? There is a smile that comes in the heart of men when he knows that he knows that he knows he's in the will of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'll tell you what Paul said a long time ago. I know how to abase and I know how to abound. And I have learned to be content in the presence of God. You mow, you feel it. You feel it when the struggles are there. You feel the pain and the agony. You feel the things that you desire to be. And they are locked up somewhere. But in your heart, you still say, no, I am going to follow after the master. They were lowing and mowing as they went. Let's keep reading. Verse 12 again. And the kind took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway lowing as they went and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. You notice that? Turn not aside to the right side or to the left. What does that mean? They didn't get distracted. They were focused. One thing. I'm going after God with everything I have. David said it this way, one thing I have asked of the Lord, this one would I seek, that I will be in the house of the Lord forever to contemplate his beauty, to inquire in his holy temple. One thing. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I have one thing that I have also, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I am so zeroing on him, nothing's going to distract me. Jesus said it this way, beside him, his friend Peter said, don't speak about the cross anymore. You shouldn't talk that way. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You speak of the things and you see the things of men. I see the things of God. I'm zeroing. I know what. There are things that are coming out. These are two cows that have babies. And now they're walking out here by, and they're looking beside them. And they, you know, there's maybe a good looking bull over there. Like, check it out. There he is. But they're not going to go. They're not going to go. They're going to go straight. Straight. Give us, oh God, people who can go straight. Not because we're pushing them, but because they have fallen in love with the Master and they got one thing. They got become single-minded about it. And what is a distraction, even if it is a counsel from a good friend like Peter, or a distraction from something, a relationship that God is not blessing, or maybe this job that is going to drag you away from the presence of God. Maybe you make more money, but the one that you have right now is allowing you to keep focus on the Lord. Whatever it is, God wants you to stay straight. Not to the right, not to the left, to stay straight, going in his direction. One last thing happened there. My time is almost up. Go back to verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 6. The kind took the straight way to the way of Bethshemesh and went along the highway lowing as they went and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Bethshemesh. And they of Bethshemesh were repairing their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Listen to this. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering. See, the other cows would have said, huh, nice trip you took. You ended up dead. And they didn't. No, it wasn't what was happening. They were becoming a burnt offering. That's what was happening. Why did they stay by a rock named, on a field name of a man named Joshua? He's not mentioned in any other place. This is not the same Joshua of the book of Joshua. No. He was Joshua, the one at Bethshemesh. But why? Why did the Lord have to tell us the name of a person that if we didn't know his name, it would have not been important? Ah, it's because Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And there's a rock there, a big rock. And the cows that are going straight and lowing and mowing and abandoning and all this other stuff, all of a sudden they got to this rock and they stood there, right by the rock. Right by the rock. They knew where the end was. They knew what that omega was. They knew this. We're coming to the sacrifice. We will become burnt offerings unto God. And God allowed them to be sacrificed that day. See, I want to be a burnt offering. Now, I'm not looking for dead. I'm looking for life, but I want to be a burnt offering. He already told me I'm done, so I got to be done. This is the deal. When you come into the presence of God, you can stay in one of those stages where you just get stuck with the fleshly stuff and whatever is in your heart and think, well, I just go to church on Sundays, but I don't really want to mess with it a whole lot. And we will love you still in the house. You're welcome. But that's not what God wants. God wants your whole self, everything, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Some of the other ones can say, you know what, I can actually leave from there. And maybe, you know, I can follow the direction of the Holy Spirit and say, you know, that's all I'm going to do. And that's good. You're getting ahead of yourself. Yes, it's good. But then when you come to the hunger of God, you're like, I don't want to be that radical. You know what I mean? I don't have to be that hungry. Can I? And God says, no, you don't have to. But if you want to know that I left it all on the field, I want people to follow me. He said it this way. I'm using the parlance of today. He said, if you want to be my disciple, my follower, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. Leave it all also. And then you go into that crowd, and you get into the crowd that is really getting after God, and they get distracted. All of a sudden, they're gone from this one, and they're gone from that one. And you know, okay, they got distracted. And after that, you realize we get to the rock, and we say, I don't know if I want to be a complete sacrifice, a burnt offering. I got to declare to you that my hunger this year is more than any other time in my life. I just feel the presence of God burning inside, calling us out, come to be a burnt offering unto him. Give it everything. Everything that you have, everything that you possess, every desire, every dream, put it upon the altar and say, God, I'm all yours. These two cows started their trip as Philistine cows and ended up in the Bible plastered all over the place as burnt offerings. And I hope and pray that when I get called by God, that they can say in my epitaph, he was a burnt offering. He didn't get distracted. He knew how to go straight after God. He knew how not to follow the fleshly desires. He knew how to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, a burnt offering. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can somebody turn on the music? Okay. Maybe some of you guys might say, what is the mission, Pastor Holm? What are we doing this thing for? And I think we heard from the Lord today. God wanted to challenge you to become the burnt offering. What is our life anyway? I know we live in the greatest country in the world. We live in a comfort. You know, we live in a 2% of the best of the best, a comfort and the prosperity of this world. And God said, I gave you all this. What are you going to do with that? Because, you know, one of our brothers says this. He said, it's an appointed, Brother Jeff said this, it's an appointed man to die once. And that appointment, you cannot break that. We all have that appointment. And we all going to face the Lord one day. And God's going to ask you, what did you do with all those things that I gave you? The chances, the goods, the time. What did you do with it? Saints, brothers and sisters, God gave you youth, health, prosperity, so you can be his instrument to tell others about Jesus Christ. So we could fill the heaven with Christ, with Christians, with people that who need Jesus. We need to empty the hell, and we need to crowd the heaven. And that is our mission. And that's God, what God is saying today. Hallelujah. Can we all stand? Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hand before God? What if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now? Can we just cry out to God? It's not about, Lord God, I want this, I want that. But God, I want to seek your face right now, God. You know, we had a 2 Chronicles 7:14 throughout the whole 21 days. But one of that verse, the part of that verse said, if my people call by my name, pray and seek my face. No longer they don't just pray for what they want. No longer they pray for what they need. But they start to pray for what can I do for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Can we just lift our hand and just cry out before God? God, I want to do this for you, Lord God. Whatever that you speak to my heart right now, I want to do what you want me to do. You know, it is uncomfortable to lift yourself or go to different countries, especially like Thailand. It's hot out there. But you know, there's so many lost, so many people who's waiting for you to come to tell them about Jesus Christ. Maybe knock on their doors and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. I can never forget the time that when Brother Oscar was saying the story about when he went to Mexico, when we sent him out. And he knocked on the door and every door closed on him. And he knocked on the door and the brother named Pedro came out. And he said, I've been waiting for you for 5 years. I saw your face in my vision. And God saved me. And God said, I'm going to use this man to save this village. And that 70% of them came to Christ out of that man and Brother Oscar. God said, I want to send you out. And there's people who's waiting for you to knock on their door and open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. Come on, let's just cry out before God. Hallelujah. Koramadia kashendra baba bakase, torabadia kashendra baba bakase. We worship you, God. We thank you, God. We praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Father God, for the words that you have spoken to us today, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us the challenge, Father God, to be, Father God, when the glory of God has come upon you, Father God, that we will go to the way that you want us to go with purpose, Father God, with the passion, Father God, with the focus, Father God. And God, let us become and stand in the place, Father God, where you want us to stand and become the burnt offering that you want us to be. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit, come and touch us today, Lord God. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, come and move upon us today, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time, Father God. Lord God, we thank you for, Lord God, Brother Oscar and Charmaine, Father God, who goes to and become, Lord God, hearing your voice and become the obedience unto you, Father God. Become that burnt offering and become our example. God, help us, Father God, to follow, Father God, the example as they follow Christ. Become that burnt offering, Lord Jesus. Challenge us, Father God, throughout this week, throughout this month, Father God, as those men and women of God, the warriors of the Lord, will come and speak to us and challenge us like what he did. We will not ignore your words. We will not, Father God, put it aside, but we will grab hold of that and say, we will do whatever you want us to do. We love you, God. We thank you. Preach. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Can we all sit down? Before I dismiss you guys, I just want to re-emphasize to you guys. You know, I really believe this month, last month was very important. Because last month was God was preparing your hearts to listen to this kind of message. And now, this month, God is bringing his messengers in this month and going to speak to you and challenge you. One of the things that we need to do is that we need to learn to take the challenge And just don't say, oh, well, that's for somebody else. No, God brought you here for such a time as this, and he's challenging you to step further for God this year. Amen? Let us not become lukewarm. Jesus said, hey, be hot or cold. Let's not be lukewarm. I will spit you out from my mouth. I don't want to hear that from the Lord. I want to be hot. I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen? And so when all those messengers that God will send it to you guys, let's not ignore their message, but let's take it into heart. And it's very end of this month, hope you guys don't wait that long, but by end of this month, you could even sign up for this short-term mission trip. Amen? And really come and join us for what God will do. And once you go out there and start to see what God is doing, I mean, it's not that God's not doing here, but man, when you go out there and when you guys start invest your time and your money to go out there, God will bless you. God will touch you. God will let you see something that you haven't seen before in your life. Amen? Amen. I wanted to just emphasize, by end of this month, we're going to do a pledge for the mission. Brother Oscar and other missionaries that we're bringing here, we're supporting them. And they cannot do the things that, you know, what God want them to do unless we support them. We could be part of their ministry. We might not be out there together, but we could support them financially, sacrificially, as their sacrifice, their time, their money, their life, their health. If I say this, you guys, nobody going to come to Thailand, so I'm not going to say it. But, you know, Tony was saying, like, we got to eat this kind of food. I said, like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I've been eating a lot of different kinds of kid, you know, food, including cat, you know. And then he was telling me this. I said, like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But for Brother Oscar, it's like everyday thing for him. Like, you have to eat those things to earn the respect for them to hear the gospel. They do that. I know that we guys all like steak and all those things, and you're not going to touch anything else. But you know what? These guys, they go there. And then, you know, the bathroom situation. We got toilets. They don't have that. I'm not going to say any further. Nobody's going to sign up now. Or either that they're all going to sign up to Japan. I know they all got a toilet. But guys, let's be sacrificial. Amen? Financially, okay? Those of you who like to contribute to Brother Oscar's ministry, you could do that in many ways, online. You could give him a Pentecost handshake, okay, as you go out, okay, in many different ways. So please bless our messengers, our prophets who's come over here and, you know, preaching the message for us, okay? And please let this month be a month that you be challenged and really take into a next level as you seek the Lord. Amen? I will close with a prayer. Father, we just want to thank you, praise you, and worship you, Lord God. We thank you for this time. Thank you for the words that you have spoken to Brother Oscar. We thank you, Father God, that you, Lord, touch our hearts and our life, Father God, that we may go next step, Father God. We go to a place of a burnt offering. That our life will be burned for you. Our life will be sacrificed for you. That our life will count for you. That everything that we have belongs to you, Lord. May we return it back to you. Because you are God. You are the only one that matters in our life. God, we thank you and praise you. And may you bless all people who are here, who hear this message today, that they may take it into their hearts. And as they take, Lord, take it into their actions, Father God, and to obedience, may you bless them and touch them and lead them and guide them and give them a focus and a blessing that only you can give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.